In May of 2015, Dexter United Methodist Church took a great leap of faith as we sought to have 100% of our people dive in for the next 2 years to generosity more deeply than ever before. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we asked this question: what's it gonna take? What's it gonna take to reach the 60% of the people in our area who have no idea about the hope and the strength that is available in Christ through the fellowship of this church? We set forth the goal of raising $4.85 million in generosity commitments to fuel our ongoing ministry, to build a center for the community on our campus, and to continue strongly in our missions to serve the world. For many weeks, we sought God in prayer, we studied and met together in home groups, we heard messages taught from Scripture, and we prayed with God and with our families for what it would mean for each of us to take a step deeper in faith and to dive in, trusting God with 100% of the resources He has given to us. Well, the result was amazing. We committed $4.6 million of the goal over the next 2 years for a church whose budget was only $1.2 million per year. We had amazing stories of faith and commitment from dozens and dozens of people. And we had an amazing day of celebration and thanksgiving to God as we celebrated what He has done through the people of Dexter United Methodist Church.
Well, I want to tell you what my son said to me while we were sitting in there today. And we were filling out the commitment cards. We said to each kid, fill out a card and just put something like 10, 20 bucks, whatever you want to put down there, you know. And he turns to me and he says, can I give all my money from mowing the lawn? All my money this summer from mowing the lawn. Can I give all that money to this campaign and this initiative? And I said, absolutely. I said, that really touches my heart that the Lord has laid that on your heart and to be able to give every single thing that you're going to make this summer to go to this campaign. Mm-hmm. And it really moved me, and I had a talk with him afterwards and told Gretchen about it also. Mm-hmm. It was exciting to hear the Lord speak through Connor that way.
So. When the Diamond campaign was first started, or when we were into it and we were asking people to make a commitment, I happened to be involved with the youth program at that time. And that was the Sunday that we asked the youth to consider what they thought that they could do over the next 3 years. And when we broke out and we talked to our small group, I remember talking to the girls about it and what because they were all heading off to college. So what can you afford? Can you do this? How is it important to you? What are you planning to do in college? Is Christ going to still be a part of your life? And so we got the cards back from the kids, and I remember they announced the amount, and I don't remember what it was, but it was staggering to me. I was blown away by the thousands of dollars that these kids had committed themselves to give to this program. And I went home just on cloud nine, and I'm like, if these kids can give this amount of money, what can we as adults do? And it made me want to rise up to the occasion and really dig deep and give all that we could.
This past year has been incredible. We celebrated over 1,300 people at Easter services, more than ever before. 32 baptisms of adults and youth, not just babies. 91 youth and 61 adults joining the church. We expanded our ministries of support and care and healing, and we entered into architectural building plans for campus improvements. We are so grateful to God and to each family and each individual involved at Dexter. So as we embark upon the one-year anniversary of the two-year dive-in commitment, we have been praying about what God is saying through all of this growth. We feel God has been challenging us, not always comfortably, growing in us and through us all year long. And God is calling us forward still. We do not believe God is calling us to rest in the complacency of past success, but that He's wanting us to continue relying solely on Him. So we're calling this upcoming series, Dive In Deeply. We are praying that through Dive In Deeply, God will speak to each of us in three different ways. There are three different groups of people. First, there are some of us who are new to Dexter or new to Dive In, and you have little or no idea what this Dive In initiative is. You joined our church family sometime after last May, and you wonder, what is this journey and how do I become a part of it? Well, the fact is, Dive In is for all of us, whether we've given anything before or not. The water's fine, and taking this step of generosity has been the best, most healthy thing some of us have ever done before. We realize generosity looks good on us. We would love for you to jump in deeply with us by making a commitment for 1 year for the final 12 months of Dive In so that you too can experience the spiritual growth that comes when you, like the Apostle Peter, dive in toward Jesus. Secondly, there are some of us who have made a Dive In commitment a year ago, and since then, some hard times have come. Maybe you have stayed strong, and maybe you're continuing to persevere, but it has not been easy. Things have come up for you that you didn't expect. Job loss, job change, medical expenses, childcare costs, and you didn't know it would be like this when you made your commitment. And I want to say to you, be encouraged. Take nourishment from this series and reach out to the God who loves you and who has called you by name. Trust that God wants to uphold you and to see you through the honoring of your commitment. For you, Dive In Deeply is about you committing to finish strong. That's exactly what we want to encourage you in as you find your strength in Christ. Third, there are others of us who made a Dive In commitment who perhaps have had an increase in faith or in finances over this past year. It's not that your commitment to generosity has been easy, and most likely your commitment has required a lot of sacrifice. I know it has for many of us. Lee and I dove in and made the biggest commitment we've ever made in giving. But you're sensing that the Lord may be stretching you to take a challenge and to take another step deeply for Him. I want to encourage you to do so. Many of us got off the dock and we took a bigger step than ever before, and it has not been easy, but we have been upheld by God's Spirit, and we've been compelled further by all that God is doing around here. So with this Dive In Deeply season, I want to invite you to join Lee and me by taking another step deeper in your generosity and to consider increasing your Dive In commitment for the final year this spring. As we move into the second year of overflowing generosity, we are claiming the basic promise of Jesus as recorded in the Gospel of John. He said, "The one who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his or her heart will flow rivers of living water." My hope is that over these next few weeks, your heart too will fill to overflowing. No one has ever regretted giving that to the Lord which cost them a piece of themselves. So let's do this, church. Let's dive in deeply.
I think it's no accident God knew that I couldn't talk today. And so he had me do all the talking beforehand. I don't know about you, but you know, Lee and I took this leap of faith and this dive in step before we knew Hunter was getting married and what that would cost us, before we realized fully that Hunter would need a fifth year of college, and the fact that this upcoming fall we'll have four of our children in college. It did happen in time that we knew Lesti, which some of you remember was here when she was 14, is in Honduras and wanted to pursue an education. Her mom is still having babies, and Lesti said, "I want to try to make more of a difference in a different way than the home that I came from." It's been an incredible journey for me personally. There were things that I was fearing about how to hold our church together, about what it was going to look like. And through this process, God has simply said, "Would you get off the dock and trust me? You talk about it enough. It's time for you to put your heart there too. Would you take a step deeper with me?" I love how in the dive-in initiative of generosity, we looked at the question, God's not so much as interested in what we are giving him as what we aren't giving him, and why. What is it that you have yet to give over to God? That's a question we'll explore over the next few weeks. And you'll find in your booklet several things, a letter from me, some of the highlights of the past year, some of the thinking as we took 250 congregational surveys, and as we met with 75 people in focus groups, what our basic needs were. Then there's some pages about where we were when we started Dive In, and what we set out to do, and what God has done as we dove in more deeply than ever before. We had over 90% of the people participate in Dive In. Think about that. Over 90% of the people are participating in Dive In. Our goal is 100%. And as we've sought to give over $550,000 over the 2 years, over $500,000 beyond our doors to missions and ministry beyond this place. As we've sought, our goal is $2 million to go toward our community and being a center for our community as we build a community center gymnasium. And then to be about our general church budget over the next 2 years. That's a part of the Dive In. And it's anything but general. It's specific ministries, like our youth who performed last week, and our children's ministry that is going great guns. And you know the number that Cindy Nixon spoke about? She said, I'm so mad, you know, Cindy, I'm so mad I couldn't think of the exact number when we were speaking. The youth committed over $28,000. We thought a goal of $10,000 would be okay. And they, on their own, committed over $28,000. That's why Cindy was so blown away, along with the rest of us. On the second to last page, it's a reminder of the dive-in journey. The idea that there are people who are here who are new Christians or nominal Christians, and they've never given really to anything beyond themselves. And for many of them, diving in was their first commitment ever. And then how some people went from, you know, an occasional gift, throw a 20 in the offering plate once in a while, to becoming a consistent giver. And then some people who are consistently giving, becoming intentional in our giving in terms of, I want to give X percentage, or I want to give off the top of what I'm making. Then people who gave sacrificially, people who said, I want what this church is about, to love God and love people and serve the world for Jesus Christ, to send people into ministry and missions. I want to be a part of a sending church equipped with love and scripture. And they gave sacrificially. It was so exciting to hear these stories. And we'll be hearing more of the stories. In this booklet was also a commitment card. We'll be having a commitment Sunday on June 12th, three Sundays from now. And it's going to be an exciting time. And I realize for most of us, we'll probably be checking that second category under the dark bar, I commit to finish strong. Some of us have seen what God is doing and may have stepped off the dock in a new way, but we've grown and we're ready to commit even more. And there's some of you who are new who have asked about Dive In. This is what it's about. And, you know, when I first began here and realized how scary it was talking about money, you know, our goal is $4.85 million. I was really scared until I realized, you know what, Jesus talked about it. He said, where your treasure is, there is your heart also. And so if Jesus can do that, surely I can help us get our hearts right with God as a preacher of his gospel. So just ask you to continue to pray, to continue to do what you're already doing. What a legacy we've been handed. And yet, where yet does God want to see this congregation go? Having been a part of the General Conference, I realize it's a personal thing. We are part of a global church, but it's personal. And I was kind of asking God throughout the time, why do you have me here? I was the only white male clergy on our whole team. Think about that. From the Detroit and West Michigan Annual Conference. I was wondering, okay, I'm a backup. The only reason I'll get on the floor of General Conference and out of the peanut gallery is if somebody needs a break, or chances are they just want to give me an opportunity to be a part of some of the legislative process. That happened. But as I was pondering, and I knew it was so my eyes would get opened, to see what our church looks like from a global perspective. 850 delegates, a third of them from Africa, more than 10% of them just from the Philippines alone, which is a big place. And that's going to only continue to increase. I was in the Cokesbury bookstore display in the exhibit hall and was just wandering around and couldn't help overhearing an accent. The accents there were amazing. A young man from South Katanga Annual Conference in Africa. And you know, the Portuguese that was being translated wasn't just for people in Portugal. I don't think we had anybody from Portugal, but we had them from Africa where they speak Portuguese, and from South America where they speak Portuguese. And we had people with all these different languages. And he was simply asking one of the Cokesbury staff for a one-volume commentary, because he has to teach these preachers in South Katanga, where they deal with malaria, where they deal with poverty right and left, where children die most days as not because of the diseases that we're seeking to battle as a part of the global Christian movement and the global United Methodist Church. And I was so mad at Cokesbury because they didn't have a one-volume preaching commentary. I said, that's what's wrong with us here in North America. We don't value preaching enough. Of course, it's easy for me to say because that's what I do. But I started talking to him, and his name is Itela. And we exchanged emails. And he emailed me. And so I went home to my Quality Inn, and I ordered commentaries, a one-volume commentary that I use, and had it delivered and was able to give it to him on the second to last day it finally arrived. So he has that to help equip the preachers in South Katanga. I still don't know where that is on the map. But I couldn't help it when I was listening to him and to that need. And you know, that's part of what God does. God, when you give your life over to God, there is this overflow that happens. And it doesn't mean you're one of those happy, peppy people all the time, but it means you can't help but overflow into other people's lives because you've got this good news in you. You've got this hope that the world needs to know. And there's 60% of us in Dexter alone, let alone Pinckney, Chelsea, Ann Arbor, all over the place, who don't know, who don't have that hope, or they'd be here. They'd be somewhere in response. Because Christianity isn't about earning salvation. It's about offering it because Jesus Christ offered it to us. I want to show a couple building slides and then just share for a minute more. This is the street level view, and you can see the atrium is going to be extended that way. on our campus, so that when it's warm, you know, if you ever come in the evenings, you see the atrium lit. It just looks so inviting. You can't see that from driving down here on River Drive. This way you'll be able to with those windows. And you can see Newkirk Hall is going to be expanded with a lower level about the size of our current Newkirk Hall for children and family ministries. And then the main level would be able to house a full court basketball court, as well as two side-by-side volleyball courts. Could be used for a walking track during the day, during the week. Could be used for large suppers. And there's another kind of better view. You know, when Robin Woodard saw it, she said, "Oh, it looks like us." And I just love that, because it does look like us. These drawings are from the Aspen Group, and we've received a couple more since then. Here is a view of the interior. And you can see where our sanctuary is, the atrium. You can see how it's expanded toward the right. You can see on the main floor there's some administration, but a large part of our most accessible rooms will be for children's ministry up through fifth grade. For nursery up through kindergarten. And downstairs would be the elementary age, because right now some parents are running between three floors. You can see there's a large recreation space. And then in the upper right corner are children's rooms with the large space. One of the things, too, is there'll be a clear drop-off area, and things will be visible and obvious as to where to go. On the next slide, it shows an interior of the atrium from the area of the new growth. And that stairway is an open stairway going up, so that the upstairs would be somewhat used for staff space, but the entire upstairs would be dedicated adult ministry space, which we're pretty excited about. And it's a good obvious way of how to get up there. And then you can see to the right of that, there's the railing. That's those stairs going down for the elementary age, so parents can drop their kids off in one spot. They'll either go on the main level or down the stairs to the other place. We've got another view of it. This is from our current atrium looking toward the new space. You can see we've about doubled the fellowship space of the atrium so that it could be that third space that everybody talks about for the 21st century. And then finally, there's a color slide of some interiors. These are rough sketches. This is in the new area, the new main entrance on the side near Newkirk, looking back toward the atrium. You can see the stone work. That's where our fireplace will be. Right now, we're even talking about an indoor-outdoor fireplace, a two-sided fireplace. It could be used so in beautiful weather, people could gather on a patio outdoors as well as indoors, as well as moms going stir-crazy whose kids could come and play. So that's some of the quote-unquote bricks and mortar. But it's so much more than bricks and mortar. And so I want to share with you this scripture, because it was at the end of one of the great Jewish festivals in the first century, the Feast of Tabernacles. Jesus was instructing the crowds. He was healing people, and he was inviting them to him. Not just to follow him, he was inviting them to him, to his life. He was so patient with them. Scripture says, Jesus Christ knew the hearts of men and women. And I don't think that means he only knew the hearts of men and women in the first century. Jesus Christ knew the hearts of all humanity. He knows your heart. He knows what's burdening you. He knows what seems unjust to you. And he was so patient. Nothing that people could be thinking or fearing or wondering about was outside of Jesus' understanding. In that first century, at the end of the great Jewish festival, the guards were on the lookout for him. And it was now the last day Jesus knows for many of them, returning to their homes, it was his last time for them to hear his voice audibly. And here's what he said to reach them. John chapter 7, verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him or her." By this, he meant the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. And then John says, the people go back into debating, what does he mean? Who is he? And they return to their homes. I think that describes so many of us. Who is he? What does he mean? Meh. I'm going back to the same way it's always been. But not John. John captured his words here. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Boy, is that written for us today. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him or her. Those words of Jesus captivate me. If anyone is thirsty, let him or her come to me and drink. You guys, there is water to be had. It is for anyone, no matter what's happened before. But there's also an if. If anyone is thirsty. Because I think most of us are pretty full of self-contentment. That might be our biggest idol. We've figured out enough to be content. But Jesus says, there's thirst. If anyone is thirsty. So what is this thirst in your life and in mine? It's nothing. Thirst, think about it. Thirst is nothing. And thirst is everything. It's the absence of good things. It's the absence of meaning. Thirst. It's painful needs that you have. Like me right now. Thirst. It's painful needs that you have. It's emptiness and it's longing like a void in you. Thirst is the angst. It's the idea that something's not quite right and I can't figure it out. It's the ringing in your ears. It's the thing that drives you to that other thing besides Jesus that you try to fill your life with. Maybe it's control, entertainment, busyness, family, this ideal that you're holding before yourself. But you need to hear, this is God's great invitation that something very important is needed in our lives. If anyone is thirsty, let him or her come to me and drink. So where do you go? Come to me, Jesus says. To his words, to his life, to his spirit. It's a perpetual call, but it's a call that needs answering. Remember, we say Jesus doesn't grab you by the collar and drag you because you're made in the image of God. And all that you need is found in abundance in Jesus. It's a person. It's relief. It's Jesus. It's a call that drives you back out of your comfort zone. And John wrote it on the last day of the festival. Jesus stood and cried out. He is crying out for you. He's crying out for your adult children. He's crying out for your grandchildren. He didn't yell at you or demean you. He just said, come to me. And then he explains it, because whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within her or him. Streams of living water. It's an inward work. It's not from your mouth. It's from your heart. Don't neglect the inside. And it isn't one river. It's streams of living water, flowing in all directions, like God's grace. God gives abundantly, God gives liberally to all of us into our lives, and we're to pour out our hearts to him and to let the overflow begin. With that, I want to introduce you to someone who I've been walking with for about 3 years. His name is Logan A. Strike. And Logan, if you'd come up. Logan is from Indiana, and he started attending our church as a student. He went to Purdue University. Any Boilermakers here? All right. And he was doing a co-op between Purdue's engineering school and Toyota, and now he works full-time for Toyota. And he's been with me in my senior guys Bible study that I lead. And I just want you to share, if you would.
All right. Maybe I'm on. All right. Every time I turn on a mic, I need to feel the feedback. So I'll have you know that I am younger than Jeremy, so instead of Jeremy making fun of everybody else for being old, I can make fun of him for being the old one. As many of you know, as Matt explained a little bit, Matt and I both co-lead senior boys D group on Sunday nights, which started about 3 years ago. And since that start, we've been involved in many of the same groups through church, and I have joined many of his groups as well. So at some point in time, we were meeting probably 3 to 4 times a week. And thus, we've become very good at building off of each other's statements and learning from each other. So naturally, every time I share with others, it becomes a little preachy. But I think I fixed it a little bit for today. So just to start out, to get into my head, I grew up loving money. I worked a lot for my parents to get money. I kept a little sticky note in my wallet that planned out how much I was going to get every week and where that money was going. I kept a separate sticky note that kept track of money I owed people and money that they owed me. So I knew everything. However, through my walk with Christ in the last few years, money seemed to be more a means to living rather than a reason to live. So when Dive In started about a year ago, we met with small groups, and I knew I'd curbed a lot of my money issues, but I'd been doing a lot of reflecting. And just FYI, I love reflecting. It's something that is at the core of me. I find that reflection is very vital to the Christian soul. It's something that requires us to have an open heart, and it requires us to be very vulnerable. And to be open to whatever we may find. And the majority of the time, it steers people away. But for me, it drives just the opposite. It drives that reflection. And in my reflection, I thought to myself, why do I approach so many things with the I spare no expense attitude? Except for when it comes to church. For a person can obviously know when they're looking on a shelf what the best product is, and they can find what the highest amount is and the lowest amount is. But when it comes to God, it's a kind of a blank check scenario. How am I supposed to know how much to give? What is the correct amount to give? So for Dive In, when I was trying to figure out my amount, I decided I was going to get 17.5% of my take-home pay. And I say this number because it gives an understanding of how it's challenged me. Obviously, this number isn't everyone's number. I was a single guy and living in my friend's house for cheap, at least for Ann Arbor standards. I had a big dream to buy a house in Dexter to go on vacations, but I decided to put them off. Then when it came time to give, at the last minute, I gave 6.5% above that 17.5 that I wanted to give. And I thought to myself, thanks God. I thought to myself, what am I doing? I'm pretty sure my parents thought I was crazy. I'm pretty sure my dad's comment was, Logan, that's a lot of money. But I didn't want to be a slave to money anymore. I wanted to be more about me. Or I didn't want it to be about me. it was my way of saying, you don't control me. You are my idol. You are my God. So that was it. I had made my commitment. It was finished. I accepted that I wasn't going to buy my house for 2 years. Besides, I had a good thing going. Little did I know that my dad was got wind of what I was doing, and he wanted to help me out because I had seen a house that I wanted to get, and at the last minute, but I didn't have enough money for the down payment. And he said, I will foot you that bill. And I decided that I was going to give him 10% extra on top of that. So it worked out for both of us in favor. And this sacrifice meant a lot of things. It meant no going to the expensive Dexter gym, making my own lunch, less going out to eat, not eating organic food, Netflix instead of movies. It meant intentional buying, no moseying around each aisle in the store anymore to find what I need. Decisions became or instead of and. Do I buy this new laptop or do I finish my basement? And this helped me to do two things. For one, it helped me to pay my dad back within 6 months. And the second thing, the most important, is to give my commitment amount. Now why? Why did I do all of this? Why would I go through all this pain? And that's it. That's exactly it. Because I wanted that pinch. Every sacrifice I make now is because of God, because I gave to this church to dive in. And it's kind of funny because I thought doing this would make me think less about money, but it actually did the exact opposite. It made me think a little bit more about money. But now it's completely different. Most every decision I make, I have to compromise because of this other commitment I have, because of Dive In. Therefore, he is on my mind in ways he normally wouldn't be. And C.S. Lewis said it very well. In Mere Christianity, I do not believe one can settle how much we ought to give. I'm afraid the only safe rule is to give more than we can spare. In other words, if our expenditures on comforts, luxuries, and amusements, etc., is up to the common standard among those with the same income as our own, we are probably giving away too little. If our charities do not at all pinch or hamper us, I should say they are too small. There ought to be things we should like to do and cannot, because our charity's expenditures exclude them. And God provided in many other ways, in completely unexpected ways. For instance, my job responsibilities at my work changed, allowing me to file for different patents, which give me small kickbacks. Over time, policy at work changed, which has helped out a lot, and I take advantage of a lot of overtime. Then most recently, I got a $500 check back for overpaying on my escrow. How awesome is that? And these things are important for me because I didn't pour praise into myself or view this as a lucky thing, but instead I thank God and viewed it as a God thing. In the end, it's not about the percentage or the number, but that it affects you to the point to where you're reminded of God daily. That is the goal. That is why Dive In strives for 100% participation. That is why I love giving in to Dive In. This church has created for me a family away from home and the ability to see God daily, which is what some people would call priceless. That's it.
Stay here a second. God is good all the time. Thank you. It's amazing what happens when we believe in Jesus Christ in our hearts, the overflow that gets poured out. And so as you think and pray about what it means to live deeply, I pray that you would want to be thirsty, that you would want to be quenched, that you would want to splash over, in the living water overflow of God's Spirit in your life. There may not be somebody in Katanga, but there's somebody in Dexter who needs to know, or Pinckney, or Hamburg, or Whitmore Lake, or wherever you are within the reach of this church. So I invite you to stand and receive this benediction. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the awesome fellowship of the Holy Spirit, whom we are seeking, overflow into your life. Fill the thirsty, empty spots. And then fill to overflowing as you go from here, that you could share that goodness with the people that you meet. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.